Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Chum Chat. Me and Tana had already recorded one, but we had to scratch that. So this is going to be our first episode of 2022. We have a special guest. He doesn't need any introduction, but USL player, young player of the year nominee this last year. And I think the year before that, USL all second team, San Antonio FC player, or maybe former San Antonio FC player, Jose Gallegos. Thanks for joining us, brother.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
And for people who haven't subscribed yet, make sure to subscribe, turn on post notifications, and just continue to show love. We love, go show us love on Instagram. Go show love to Jose on Instagram. Our editor will pop up his Instagram and Twitter on the screen. And yeah, but first of all, let's just reflect on this 2021 season you had, man. What was it, 7 goals, 4 assists?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, 7 goals, 4 assists.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad, but you lost to the eventual champion, Orange County, in the playoffs. How was that?
Nah, man, that was tough. Cause obviously they're I didn't think they were favorites going into the playoffs. I think they surprised everybody in the league. I think we were favorites going into that game, just how we were, you know, running up to towards that game, and they were just really good defensively. Honestly, like I think the best defensive team we played all year, and I think that's what helped them get to the final and eventually win. But I think from our point of view, our season, you know, I think we had a great season. We started rough, and then later on, you know, we picked up our rhythm and we ended up doing not too bad. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, y'all are a solid team. You put up solid numbers. So, I mean, I don't know what more you could ask for. It's been it was a great year last year for you, but I think we should talk about 2022. Here on Chum Chat, we always talk about success, how you define it, certain things. We'll get to that, but we want to ask you, what are your goals for 2022 look like for you?
Every year, just do better than what I did last year, man. Just trying to get to higher levels also, you know. I think everybody's goal is to get to Europe at a certain point, just like anybody else. So, yeah, that's the main goal, man. Seeing where it goes from here. I think I've done, you know, my third time in San Antonio. It's been good. They're the ones that give me the stage to showcase what I've done, and yeah, it's just seeing where to next and where it could help me the most in my career.
Yeah, bro. Actually, that's one of the, before I move on to like kind of that Europe stuff and stuff like that. One of the fans actually asked what your preferred position is, because you're good at the 10, but a lot of teams don't play with the 10. Do you like playing out wide, or do you see yourself maybe dropping down to an 8? You know, or what do you think? What do you think you can reach your full potential as, or what's your favorite to play?
Yeah, I think mostly I just played 10 my whole life. I just played as a 10. But I love playing on the wing also, because you're just so free to do, you know, what you want, take on players, you know, be more creative. I think you can be creative as a 10 too, but I feel like you're more free to do that as a winger, because as a 10, there's more, I guess, focus on you in the middle. But I've also played as a 8, I think my second season here in San Antonio, and I didn't do too bad. It's just not the preferred position I want for myself. I think I do better as a 10 or as a winger, but yeah, I've mostly always just played as a 10. I think I prefer that also.
Yeah, no, it's, I think it's a position that suits you, but also like a lot of people are saying that the 10 is like dying or whatever it may be, because a lot of teams are playing with like a double 8 now, like a 4-3-3. So, I mean, I don't know. It is tough, but You tried, I think, with Bayern, or did you try? Or was it just kind of like a training stint?
I think like a training stint, honestly.
When was that?
It was. I'd say it was a trial. Actually, I'd say it was a trial. That was like beginning of 2020, like March around. Yeah, I think it was just by, you know, just by the name Bayern Munich, just the, you know, one of the biggest clubs, if not the biggest in the world. So me just being there training was crazy enough. Yeah, I was there for a week, almost 2 weeks. And it was just fucking surreal, man. Like just being there, like, and seeing players that I've seen on TV, was crazy. And me being, cause I was training with the second team. I was training with the second team, and you just see the there's levels to this, and it was good to be in that environment, and yeah, I just enjoyed it, man, overall.
Hey, bro, I can tell you there's levels to this. I can totally agree with that, bro. It's there's different levels in each part of the world in terms of soccer, and different levels to each country as well. And I guarantee John can attest to that too, with being in Germany and then also being in Portugal. But yeah, man, it's a different level, bro. It's a different level for sure, especially being in Europe. Bayern's second team is, I mean, I'm sure they're quality, but
was Chris there?
Did you feel?
What's that?
Chris Richards. For sure was Chris Richards there at that time?
No, he wasn't. It was Justin Che.
Okay.
Oh, Justin was there.
The one that would like help me out, because I didn't. It's crazy, man, because you go to a place like that and then everybody's like speaking a different language and you're just like, what? Like, you're trying to keep up. Like, we were being training and obviously the coach is speaking German and he knows I only know English and speak Spanish. But I guess you just got to, when you go to a place like that, they want you to pick up the language as quick as you can. And I was there and Justin was the one like always like translating for me and trying to help me out. So, cause yeah, I know he knew German a bit, so that would help me out a lot too. So,
yeah, it's honestly though, like for me being in Italy now, like if you hang out with somebody that knows the language, it's honestly not good for you because you're just like, oh, what they say, or you'll tell them this or whatever, but you don't ever actually like learn for yourself. So, when you do make the move to Europe in due time, you gotta try it for yourself and really push yourself, because it's honestly nice. I mean, you're Duolingo, so is Johan. He's learning other languages as well. But I wish I spoke more languages, bro. Like growing up in America, nobody, I mean, you take Spanish class or you take French class, whatever, but you never really speak it outside. So yeah, man, I wish I knew more language, but it's coming. 2022, I'm going to be fluent in Italian. So,
hey, that's too calm. But moving on to another question that someone asked, shout out Jack. He said, where in Europe do you want to play? Like, what's the perfect situation right now for you? Maybe a long-term and short-term now. Like, where do you see yourself? Maybe you can take that as, like, what league do you want to play in or what team? I don't know. Yeah. Just interpret it how you want.
Yeah, man, I think anywhere is ideal right now, honestly, in Europe. I think that's where all the eyes are at. You know, I've gone to Germany, and that was awesome. I think that's been big for U.S. players. I think the big ones that everybody looks at, I think, is like Germany, Spain, Portugal, even Belgium. Belgium's like really good too. I saw Cuevas had just gone to Bruges. And that's like a solid club to start at. Shit, man. There's a dog barking right now. It's the neighbor's dog, my bad.
No worries.
Yeah, you're all good.
Yeah, any of those teams, any of those countries, I think is going to be massive ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, like somewhere like Portugal, Spain, I mean, even Germany, like you said, I mean, you got to see with Bayern and stuff like that, you know how it is. But you've been in USL, you know the US. You know, we got someone asked this, and I don't know if this is true. Have you had any contact with FC Dallas or any MLS teams in general? Maybe that's not the ambition, but have you had any contact with them?
I not that I know of, honestly, not FC Dallas, but I've been in contact with MLS clubs. Obviously that's not the, you know, main goal for myself right now, but yeah, there's been contacts with a couple MLS clubs. And it's funny because I speak to my parents about that, and my dad, like, eventually, like, he hears like what the money there, and he's like, oh yeah, MLS. I'm like, nah, you're not seeing like the big picture. I gotta, like, first I want to start my, you know, that journey in Europe. So my dad's just like, he hears like how much they're offering. And he's like, yeah, I think you need to go there. But he's just not thinking, like, I don't know how I guess I think of it. Because he doesn't know much about soccer like that either. He's never really played. And he only watches, like, the games when I play and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny when I bring up the MLS folks to him.
That's crazy low key. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might be a little bit stereotypical, but you're obviously Mexican-American living in San Antonio. I just figured your dad or at least like someone in your family was like crazy about soccer. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how I grew up.
Yeah, that's what everybody tells me too. Like, yeah, both of my parents never played soccer. I think any sport, honestly. The only one that got me into it was my older brother. And he got me in really young because he started playing late, like at 12 years old. And he got pretty good in a short amount of time. And, at like 4 or 3 years old, he started, you know, practicing with me. And he's the one that showed me how to kick a ball and all of that. So, yeah, props goes to him.
I just want to take a little break to shout out our sponsor, BET Online. It's the fastest, easiest way to bet on any kind of sports. Obviously, you can bet on the NFL playoffs right now. Champions League coming up, any of that online, use our promo code BELEAV, BLEAV, for 50% off on your first purchase online. Yeah, shout out BET Online for presenting it. And let's get back to the interview. So, yeah, someone was asking if you were born and raised in San Antonio.
Yeah, I was born and raised in San Antonio. My parents are from Mexico. My dad from Durango, my mom from Chihuahua. But, I've always just been in San Antonio.
So that's crazy to me, actually, because how have we never played each other? You've been in the San Antonio setup, like, throughout your whole career?
Yeah. We would play against FC Dallas. I remember you would play for them. Who else? Thomas Roberts was there. But
they were Classics Elite, though, at one point.
Classics Elite, yeah. We were Classics Elite.
Okay, so you did play for them.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, so that's crazy. That means we did play against each other, I guess.
Yeah, we did. It was you. I think it was you, Thomas. Who else was on that team? Reynolds.
Yeah, Brian.
Brian, and I think his
brother. Yeah, I used to play on some trash fields, though.
No.
Those fields are garbage.
No, they were pretty garbage. Not like, it wasn't until, like, because it was Scorpions back then, before San Antonio FC. They were called Scorpions. Yeah. And that's when they had the academy. And then once I think they have enough money to support the academy or something. The fields just started getting shit. So, yeah. But
did you play with Carson Price?
Yeah.
Okay, Tanner lived with Carson. I knew Carson.
Yeah, I live with Carson.
Too. Oh, and
yeah, Carson, man, he's an idiot.
Carson's funny, bro. He was always playing. He was always playing up. I don't. He's at Charlotte right now, but yeah, he's funny, man. Carson.
And Roel, I think Roel went there. Roel, I don't know if you know Roel.
Yeah, Roel Peña.
Yeah, bro. Was he there first and then came to FC Dallas, or he was at FC Dallas and then went there? I don't remember.
No, he was here first, and then he went with y'all to FC Dallas, and from there, I think he went to, I think León in Mexico.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was always messing around, man. He would always get in trouble and stuff. But
that's crazy, bro. That's crazy. I didn't know. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, we played against each other a couple times then, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I remember we were doing pretty good in the league, and then we played y'all and we would get smacked, bro. We get smacked like 4-0. And it was like, damn, bro, like we were about to go first place. And then it's always like y'all in first place. It was like y'all, Dallas Texans, and us, like top three around there.
Yeah, but it was hard to play over there. Like, we'd always like, Dan wasn't there at that point yet when you guys were still in the league, but we would play y'all, but it would always be so hard because their fields are so bad, you couldn't play, bro. So we always win by like one goal or two goals, but just because the fields are so bad, it was like impossible to play. But anyway,
yeah.
Someone asked, did you play in high school?
Yeah, I played high school all 4 years.
That's kind of crazy because not a lot of people have the success that you've had and play high school. I think
you had to be the greatest high school player last year, for real.
Yeah, how was that, bro? Wow. Like, how do you think that worked? Like, helped your development?
Let me ask a question, though. How did you go from, like, you playing in high school with these guys that literally are in math class, like, they're playing soccer for fun, like, not taking it serious, the level, the coaching, like, what they're telling you to do, the atmosphere, and then you switch, like, the next day, like, every day you're doing this, you switch to San Antonio where you have a professional game, you have packed stadiums, you have fans going crazy. It's a whole different lifestyle. How did you manage that, bro?
I mean, honestly, bro, I don't know, because obviously the level is nowhere near at that pro level. But the thing that helped me is also I was playing club, so that would help me, you know, kind of maintain, you know, a good level. But I was playing high school. It wasn't even public school. It was private school. So, like, even then, the level drops even more down. But I think it was just fun because it's high school, man. Like, everybody, you know, your friends go there, everything. And we were a good team. So, yeah, we went state, like, all 4 years. It was just on it. We got, like, I got a ring for every year. So, it was just, like, obviously a bonus, like, just getting a ring and all of that. But it was tough, honestly, maintaining the level, because I would play with high school, and then I'd go to class. Like, I'd have three classes a day. So I would train in the morning with San Antonio, and then I'd go to class for three classes. And then I would also train with the club after. So it was like kind of, it was hard to maintain all of that, bro, because also homework, and I wasn't always the smartest guy. So it was just tough overall, honestly.
Bro, that's I'm not going to lie. I saw someone was hyping him up, and it was his high school highlights. And, you know, like, just a stereotype, like, I saw him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, he's good, but, like, he plays high school.
Yeah, you can't, like, judge it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I swear, like, the next day he was playing for San Antonio or something like that, and he, like, was doing against pros. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's legit, you know? Like, I just feel like you came out of nowhere. Like, you just came from, like, a high school player to, like, San Antonio. Like, all of a sudden you're trialing for Bayern Munich and, like, looking at things abroad, which is crazy. And you got called into the national team also, U20, which I don't know if a lot of people know that, because that camp in Portugal, definitely COVID affected that. That sucks, but that's crazy, man. I don't think a lot of people can do that.
Things started to pick up for me until later on, for sure, because I remember, like, back when we would play y'all, I was doing okay, but I wasn't really up there to where everybody was looking at me. It was more like later on, until I signed with San Antonio, where things really started to pick up for me, for sure.
Yeah, man.
Let's get into a little bit more serious, though. Someone says, shout out Marcus. He says, what's the biggest challenge that you faced so far in your career, and, like, how did you overcome it?
Yeah. I think... Well, honestly, I'd probably pick the moment where I went to Europe and trained with Bayern, and a little bit with Barca. I think I was there for like a day. I trained with Barca for 1 day, and I got injured. Wow. And so that ended off everything from there, because they saw I got injured. It was my meniscus. I was out for like a month and a half. I had to get surgery, so that kind of just like canceled that opportunity for me. And I just had to obviously recover, and it was tough because I was. For me, since I signed with San Antonio, it was just like a slow, like it was steady, just going up, 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 you know, reaching new levels. And that happened. I was like, damn, like that was my only opportunity. That was my one chance to that's what I was thinking when it happened. But obviously now I think I'm like, I can get back to back there if I keep working. So I think that was definitely a tough moment for me in my career, for sure.
You know, my brother, obviously.
Yeah.
Playing with you in USL, and now is at Sociedad, and I think the other USL Young Player of the Year nominee, Diego Luna, was out there trialing too in Europe. So obviously the quality of those three guys is there. Does that ring with you and motivate you to be like, yeah, I can definitely do it? Like, because you mentioned that you thought, okay, my one chance was over, I got injured, boom. But now that you're back again and you're playing well, do you think to yourself now, it's like, okay, now's my moment, like it's good, like I can do it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I see it's there is some competitiveness in there with those other guys, because obviously your brother won Young Player of the Year, dude balled out last year, and Diego Luna, dude also balled out with El Paso. El Paso is another great team in the league, and it's hard not to compare yourself with other people. You know, it's hard not to do that. I try not to. I try to just stay in my lane, focus on myself. But yeah, I think I've seen so many people, you know, I've played against and seen my age, you know, make it there. And you ask yourself, yeah, I can, why not me? You know, I can do that too. And it's just having that mentality that, you know, I'm big on like manifestation, that kind of stuff. Like since I was little, I told my mom, like, hey, I'm gonna get you a nice house when I'm older, all this kind of stuff. So I like to manifest and do all that stuff since I've been doing it since I was little. So I think it's, it's just believing in that and just putting that into existence and working towards that.
Yeah, man, I love what you said there, but I mean, we're so young and it's crazy. Like you get these opportunities and you think like, yeah, this is my one shot. Like today is the day, like a certain game, you're like, yeah, this game, like it means everything. Like if I do well, it changes my life. And if I do bad, it, you know, it changes it a different way. But man, we're so young. Some of these players that we see, we watch on TV week in, week out in the Premier League and in the Bundesliga. I mean, they're making these teams when they're 26, like Jamie Vardy, what a story. Like players like that, that, I mean, we're so young, we have time, but obviously, I mean, we live in a culture now where everybody wants things now and they want it quick and with terms of everything. And, you know, it just doesn't work like that for everybody. And I think that's definitely something I can attest to well. And so is Johan. Just like you said, staying on your own path. And I mean, what's wrong with giving somebody their roses? They do something good. You bring them up, you're boys with them. You congratulate them, but you just stay focused on yourself. And that's the best way to get there. So I think you got your head on screwed right, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that, man. For sure.
Yeah, that's crazy, Dan. I agree with that 1,000%. I mean, you look at, you know, not everyone's a Gio Reyna, stuff like that, people like that. I mean, Tanner, you signed later than me, and now you're CDI. Like, I took a little bit of a different route. I signed into an academy of a big club, and then now maybe I took a step to the side, but I'm still on my way to, you know, playing first league in a top five league. You know what I mean? So everyone has their own path. That's the great thing. That's the beautiful thing about football. There's so much talent. So I think, you don't have nothing to worry about. But before I ask you to define success, I don't know if you want to talk about, like, if there is any interest. I don't know if you can talk about it or you want to give us an exclusive or anything that's going on, you know, that, you know, might give us a scoop. It's up to you. I don't know if you have anything like that going on, or you're just kind of waiting to see if your agent gets you anything, or what's the situation there.
Yeah, it's just that, man. What you just said, it's just waiting to see what comes up. Because obviously I'm on contract right now still. I got San Antonio picked up my option, so if I were to leave, someone would have to put in an offer. And right now she's waiting and seeing, you know, who offers me the best, I guess, more playing time and where I see myself doing better in. So it's just waiting and seeing what comes up and where I could go, you know.
So as of right now, you're just getting ready for this season. Oh, go ahead, Ted.
I want to add one thing. Like, we talk about Europe and we talk about MLS, but would you ever see yourself going to Liga MX and playing in Mexico?
They've asked me that too, and I think I see it kind of the same as MLS, honestly. I think I grew up watching the Mexican league since I was little, but I've always seen it also like just MLS, because players that play in La Liga Mexicana or Liga MX, like I think they're just like any of us who over here in the US were planning on eventually getting to Europe. So like I've said before, I think the sooner I get to Europe, I think the better. But obviously, I have a lot of respect for both the leagues because I grew up watching them. So,
who do you support in Liga MX?
Chivas. I used to support them more. Now, not so much because I haven't really been keeping up as much. But, yeah, I used to always support Chivas. Heavy Chivas fan.
Interesting, because another John, person you? Asked us. I'm Cruz Azul fan. My dad is a Cruz Azul fan.
Is there some beef going on right now?
Nah. Chivas is the biggest club, but Cruz Azul is big too, but we're better in general.
Yeah. Cruz Azul, for sure. Better right now, yeah.
But Cruz Azul was like cursed for a lot of years, and just this past May, they broke like a 30-year drought of title, and they finally won, which is crazy. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, another question that someone asked that ties into that. They asked Mexico or U.S., if you get the chance right now, both the Olympic squads call you in, you know.
Yeah.
What's the word?
That's tough, man, honestly. Because I've always supported Mexico, like, growing up. I'm not going to lie. I always supported Mexico growing up. When they would play, I'd always be rooting for Mexico. But now, you know, seeing what U.S. is building on, and, you know, obviously it's shown in the past few games they played against each other, it's for me, I think it's like I'm leaning towards U.S., but also I want to keep my options open with Mexico because – my heart's telling me Mexico, but it's a tough one, man. It's really tough.
Yeah, honestly, that it's for me watching players like you decide Mexico or U.S., like your brother as well, John, and you as well. Man, I don't know how you decide, bro. Like, because as an American and only American, like I hate playing against, like I hate Mexican team. Like, I don't hate Mexico as a country, but like I hate the Mexican soccer team. Like every time we play, it's like, I want USA to win so bad. Women's, men's, darts, arrows, I don't care what it is. Like, I want to win so bad. So if you had to decide which one, man, I always think about the players I have to decide, man. It's tough.
Yeah. I think it would have to come, like, if I had, you know, both teams like right here and they told me, okay, pick, I have no idea. I think I'd have to just decide if that moment were to come like that. But nah, man, no idea right now, honestly.
Yeah.
It's crazy because you gotta like, you have what your heart, like what you say, what your heart's telling you, then what your mind's telling you, then what opportunities are there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you always have the media and stuff like that. So I'm seeing it firsthand with my brother. It's actually crazy. And he's so young, you know, sometimes you don't want to like make that decision yet, which is crazy. But yeah,
bro, it's all about players as well.
Exactly.
No, I was gonna say it's all about players. Like, I mean, if they put Christian Pulisic as a 10, like, mate. Like you're never gonna play in the U.S. Like it don't matter. Like,
yeah, you gotta know. There's no chance. Yeah, Pulisic, obviously, dude's so versatile too. Like what they're doing with him at Chelsea is crazy, man. Like he can play anywhere. Yeah. It looks like.
Yeah. But yeah, let's move on. Sorry, John.
No, that's a great point, bro. Like I said, like the opportunities. You know, you have to look at, you know, the depth in each country, but also obviously, you know, one country cannot have any, for example, tens. But then if they never call you up, it's like, you know what, you know, what's going on. So yeah. It's not like you can't always control that. But anyway, our signature thing here is success defined. We define success with all of our guests and stuff like that. And it's always so awesome because they always have different answers. So what do you think is your definition of success? And do you think you've achieved success yet? Or do you think you're on your way to achieving it?
No, I think I'm on my way to achieving it. But I think success is just being... obviously, I mean, I think it's something that everybody always says, but it's being or loving what you're doing and just being comfortable if it were to end, you know. I think that's success. If you're loving what you're doing and you've gotten to a point where if it stops now, like you'll still be comfortable where you are and you won't have to worry, you know, financially or losing anybody. I think that's success. Once you get to that point, you know, you won't. You know, nothing bad will come from it if you were to, you know, say like whatever it is, if you were retired from whatever you're doing, you know.
What's that point for you though?
What is that point for me?
Yeah.
Like what? What do you mean?
Like, what's that point for you where you say, okay, I did this. So if I retire now,
like,
I'm
happy.
Once I get to the point to where obviously I love what I'm doing now. But I think once I get to the ideal situation that I've always dreamed of since I was young, say wherever it is in Europe, because that's where I see it in Europe, with whoever it would be with, being just good financially and you know, being able to help everyone around me that I love and, you know, keeping them safe from anything like that. And just keeping everyone close that you love. And as long as I'm there doing what I love with the sport, and I'm helping everybody around me, bringing them with me, I think that's the point where I'll be like, okay, yeah, I've made it, I succeeded.
So you think money ties into success?
I think people say no, but I think it does. Honestly, I think it does because I want to help as much as I can everybody around me. I don't want them, like my mom, my dad, I want to retire them eventually. And I want to, you know, I want them to not to worry about anything like that anymore. So, because my dad's been working since he was like 14, you know, on his own. So it's like, I get to a point, I just think I'm like, nah, he needs to like chill. Like, he needs to, you know, rest now. Like, let me and my brother, let us take care of that now. Like, you've done too much for us. I think it does, honestly, a little bit, at least a little bit, you know, because, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not a bad thing. I think everyone, it kind of depends on how you're raised, too. You know, some people might say, oh, money's not that important. But some people might say, like, you know, yeah, money is important. You know what I mean? So it just always varies. And that's the great thing about that question. But
I think it's important on making you happy. It's more just on helping others around you. I think that's what it is. It's not just me. Because people always say, like, money doesn't make you happy, and I agree with that. I don't think it would. Obviously, I'm not there. I'm not at that level, but I'm, like, I could imagine, like, I think I see money as just, you know, just helping you be comfortable and you know, the people you love around you, you know, help them as well.
I like that. Yeah, so just a couple more questions here, some random questions that we got from the fans. That someone says, if you had to eat only one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Probably, I have no idea. One food?
Yeah, one food.
I don't know. I love pasta, man.
Pasta?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say a Mexican.
Come over to Italy, bro.
Nah, I love pasta, man. A Mexican dish, I could probably go enchiladas.
Enchiladas. Your mom's a good cook or no?
Yeah, she cooks like every day, man. That's what makes it harder because I still live here and like be cooking all crazy Mexican foods like every day. And she gets like offended if I don't eat that because I have to like kind of take care of myself. Cause she makes menudo, enchiladas, chile rellenos, like all these Mexican dishes, right? And it's like so tough because I come home and she's making that. And I have to like either make my own kind of food or just go and get myself something a little more healthier than that.
I mean, be grateful while you have it, because you know once you come into Europe, bro, it's different.
You come to Europe, bro, there ain't no Mexican food here, bro.
There isn't, man. Like tacos. I had birria tacos. I don't know if y'all have had birria tacos, but those,
of course,
man. Like honestly, if I'm leaving, then I'm for sure gonna get some tacos before I head out.
You got to, bro. But for sure, before bro. We wrap it up, is there anyone you would like to see us interview on Chump Chat? I don't know if you have any friends, anyone like that you would like, oh, I think you'd be a good guest.
Let me see.
You don't even have to know them. Just anyone.
I think Jacobo, do you know Jacobo Reyes?
I do know. I was talking to him the other day.
Yeah, I think. Have y'all had him on?
No, we haven't.
I've known him because when I was planning on going to college, he was my, what do you call it? My host or my, because he was the one helping me show around campus when he was in Portland.
You went to UP?
Yeah, I did.
Bro, I was committed to UP.
Yeah, I was going to commit. I was between them and NC State, and I ended up committing to NC State. But yeah, he was the guy that was helping me around and show me around campus, and I stayed with him too.
But, that's crazy. Was Ray still there?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
That's crazy. Yeah. No, that's cool. Okay. All right. Well, y'all are in a similar situation, low key, because I know he's trying to leave Monterrey, or that's what he's told me. So I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but yeah, bro. I mean, what's your Instagram and your Twitter so that they can the people can go show love?
Jose_Gallegos17 on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, say no more. Is there anything, any last words that you kind of wanted to say or maybe any advice to any young kids that may be watching?
No, man, I think I just appreciate y'all having me on. I think, you know, I know I played against Johan. Tanner, I've been following you, man. Big fan for sure, both of y'all, and I wish y'all the best.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming on. This was fun for sure, and I learned a couple things that I didn't know already, like the UP thing. I didn't even know we had played against each other when we were little, so. That's crazy, but obviously wishing you all the best for 2022. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Go show Jose love. Be alert to his next move because it's coming. Like, share, and subscribe. And like we always say, go find your own success. Deuces.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.